Padgett in. Really excited about our conversation today. I am here with Father Harry Burry, and Nancy Nelson is in the studio. And those who are longtime listeners know that Nancy Nelson should be sitting in this chair, because that's...
I love listening to you in that chair. It's just wonderful, the job you do here every day, and it's always nice to be back
thanks.
And visit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people are like, there's Nancy on the radio again. Because they only hear you when you're describing what their funeral should be like now, some of these people. I'm like, there's Nancy, who I like so much, and when I hear her voice, she's reminding me that I need to think about my funeral plot. So thank you.
You're talking about the commercial that I do.
Yeah, the commercial. Harry, tell them about the commercial.
No. You spend your time with Harry. He's the important guy.
Well,
here today.
Yes. And Nancy was kind enough, Father Harry, to introduce the two of us. And this is really a treat for me. I bring up very often here on the show that not only am I a progressively minded political person and want to encourage people to be engaged in civic life and in the collective political life, but I'm a pastor, a working pastor, and I pastor at a church in Minneapolis. And
good for you.
I come from the stream of Christians that say that we're supposed to do something about the society that we live in, and that we're all in this together, and we share it. And as a Protestant, I have the privilege of meeting other Protestants and people of other traditions and other faiths and other religions, and especially Catholics and Catholic priests. And to meet you as someone who has done the kind of work that you've done in advocacy, really caring for other people and caring for the system at the same time. Those of us who come from the Christian tradition and believe that our call is to love God, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and to love our enemy. That those four loves are inseparable from one another.
I agree.
I'm holding a book here called Maverick Priest, The Story of a Life on the Edge. And so I'm going to let you do a lot of the talking. Just in our brief conversation of meeting, it seems to me that you've cared about loving God, your neighbor, as you love yourself, and in loving your enemy. And you're trying to bring about a movement of peace here in the Twin Cities and trying to make something special happen. So.
Yes, so it's a privilege and an honor to be here with you. Thank you. Yes, I grew up here on the north side and was ordained in 1955. And then in 1965, I was assigned to the Newman Center at the University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And it was there that I encountered young men who were being drafted, and they were conscientiously objecting to the Vietnam War, and they needed a priest, a minister, to help write their letter to the government, so to speak, in order to receive conscientious objector status. And so a lot of them contacted me, and the more letters I wrote, the more convinced I became that the war was not only a mistake, but immoral.
Yeah.
And before that, I was a typical American that just thought my country always did what was right. And that was a big surprise for me.
When you took your vows to be a priest, that's a particular set of commitments that you're making.
Yes.
In 1965, as you started to develop this consciousness, did it feel like you were fulfilling your vows, or did you feel a struggle with the vows to your ministry that you made when you were starting to engage in this public work? Like, was that just a natural path into being an activist and into social issues and to changing society? Or was there a struggle in there?
No, for me, it was a natural progression. It was sort of like growing up.
Yeah.
It was maturity. And then in 1970, I was able to go away and study to get a PhD in organizational behavior, and there I was seeing it progressing. So I believe in evolution, and I believe that our knowledge evolves as well as our bodies.
Well, we were talking beforehand, and you're in your late 80s, soon to turn 90. It's really an honor to ask you about how this has gone over all of these years. And someone who, in your book, you tell stories about your work in the United States, your work around the world, calling for peace and calling for societal transformation. How do you maintain the hope and the courage after all of these years? It just can feel like it's going the other direction. And a lot of us are just out of our minds about what's happening with the Trump administration, with the Republican hawkishness, with what seems to be a commitment to perpetual war and one-upsmanship and brutality of one another. All these years into it, how do you, at a societal level or at a spiritual level or at a human level, how do you keep the hope alive?
Well, it's only my faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
I really believe that he's the Son of God and that he came to teach us a new way of looking at life.
Mm-hmm.
And that new way of looking at life is not to punish people, which we do, and which is the dominant paradigm today, but to get away from punishing and use love and respect and positive reinforcement.
Mm.
And my experiences in my life tell me that that's the way to make change.
I guess I was asking this question, right, about like the societal struggle with trying to move away from a punishment narrative and into a positive growth narrative. There's a lot of people who, when they hear Christians talk in the world, they hear an awful lot of pain and punishment narrative. And there's a lot of people in the Protestant tradition and certainly a lot in the Catholic tradition for whom everything they've ever heard from a priest or from official teaching of a Lutheran church or a Baptist church or any kind of church they've gone into is that the judgment of God awaits them. And it just all feels like punishment. I know it's not a religious show, particularly here today, but do you think that's churning at all? Do you have a sense that there's that the humanity that our faith and that Jesus calls to is starting to find its footing? Do you think there's something else?
No, I believe so.
Yeah.
We're moving in that direction. We're evolving.
Yeah,
and I'm very hopeful.
So when people hear that there's some evolution happening and the human consciousness is evolving,
yes,
that religion is evolving, that society is evolving, it doesn't always seem that way to them. What are things that you're noticing that are telling you, hey, this evolution is afoot, something's happening, there's this kind of societal, personal growth is taking place?
Well, take a look at what is happening in the next 10 days, starting tomorrow.
Okay, tell us about that.
We've got about 60 organizations that have come together and are going to do some kind of event during these 10 days. So there's four or five events going on every day, events that demonstrate that in the Twin Cities right here, many things are happening that will not only deter violence, but contribute to the well-being of people, like finding people jobs, helping people to find a place to live after they come out of prison and get a job, helping the homeless. A lot of those things are happening, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't know about it, and these organizations themselves don't know about all the other ones that are doing something. So, in bringing these 60 organizations together under our umbrella of Twin Cities Nonviolent is enabling them, too, to see and get courage and hope from all the good things that are happening in our Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm. So if people want to find out more about that, they can go on a website called TwinCitiesNonviolent.org.
That's correct.
When they're there, there's going to be a list of a lot of organizations. Have you been behind organizing these groups to work together, or are there
organizing? That's the wonderful thing about it. This is a bottom-up kind of thing, and not a top-down, we've got the answers.
Yeah.
But this was an invitation to all these different organizations to come together and demonstrate what they're doing to make the Twin Cities a really good place to live and a safe place and safer by the day.
Yeah, I'm sure you've been thinking about this since the early 70s when you were earning a PhD in organizational behavior. But very often the things that we choose to count, the things that we choose to categorize, they become the dominant narratives in our society and in our minds. So we just keep track of a lot of things in our world, and those topics and issues and resources that we count take on more precedent for people.
I agree.
Pay attention to that.
I agree.
And what it sounds like you're trying to do is to say, boy, there are, if you draw a circle around all this work that's going on and call that a one thing, call that an effort for the Twin Cities to be nonviolent, then you can start to count it and you can pay attention to it.
Yes, and it's just the beginning.
Yeah.
These 10 days are like a commencement, and we're going to keep working at it and until people can hitchhike all over Twin Cities.
Yes, that's okay. I want to talk about that. Do you have a sense? What does that mean, hitchhike?
Well, when I was, I grew up in Northside.
Yeah.
At 2723 Oliver Avenue North.
Okay.
And on hot summer days, as a 12-year-old, 13, 14-year-old, I hitchhiked to Camden to go swimming.
Yeah.
And maybe 3-4 times a week.
See.
Nothing ever happened. And then when I got to be 15, 16, and Dad let me take his car, I picked up strangers, you know, hitchhiking, and nothing ever happened. So I said to the gang members on the north side, gentlemen, I would like you guys to help me out. And during the 10 days free from violence, keep your area free from violence. Would you do that for me?
Yeah. And what kind of responses were you hearing from?
Well, when I asked them, they said, we'll think about it. But now I just heard from Will Wallace, who is their mentor, that they're going to, each one is going to protect its own block during the 10 days and actually teach the little kids about nonviolence. And they're going to start it off by grilling hamburgers on Friday night.
I love it. Hey, that's Father Harry Burry. He's the author of a new book that's going to come out. We'll talk about that in a minute, called Maverick Priest, and is engaged with TwinCitiesNonviolent.org. We'll be back here after the break, AM 950.
Sit on his lap, that big old Buick steer.
Fall is an important time to call the window washing and exterior cleaning experts Blue Sky Services to prevent seasonal changes and potential winter damage. Look at your roof. Do you have black streaks, blotches, or algae? Don't wait for the cold to have these freeze. Cleaning is much cheaper than replacement. September's schedule is filling quickly, so don't neglect your windows, gutters, or siding cleaning. Call 651-447-4484 to book your fall cleaning before their busy season schedule fills, and tell them that you're an AM 950 listener. That's 651-447-4484 or blueskyservices.com.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
It's grilling season, and Vinaigrette has some sizzling recipes to inspire you. How about summertime grilled fajitas? Just create a marinade with our golden balsamic or champagne vinegar and chili garlic or jalapeno olive oil and marinate beef or chicken. Add red onions, red, green, and yellow peppers and throw them on the grill. Or try grilled steak brushed with our truffle or garlic olive oil. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior or online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Summer's over and the kids are back in school. That means you can call Zero Res to clean up all the dirt your family dragged in from the outside. Their patented powered water will clean up the toughest messes and won't leave behind any smelly dirt-attracting residue. I even had them clean up a mess earlier this summer from a few nameless friends who got a little clumsy with the wings and barbecue sauce. Just call 9520-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. Three-room ZeroResified starting at $149. ZeroRes, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hey, welcome back to AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Bumper music here comes from a little startup musician named Bruce Springsteen, and that song, Born to Run. I don't know. Father Harry, talking to you, I feel like you've got that kind of spirit in you. I think you're somebody who feels like you were born to move and born to run. How have you gotten along with the other priests, the other people that don't know their religion? There's priests come in different groupings, and you're a priest that works for the diocese. You work locally. How has your kind of behavior as your self-named maverick priest hood. How has that gone over with the other priests?
Well, I live with about 20 other priests at the retirement home on the campus of the University of St. Thomas.
Yeah,
and it's interesting because just like our population, some of them are conservatives, politically and religiously, and others are quite the opposite. We would call progressive.
Yeah,
and I tend to be on the progressive side, but we are always thoughtful and considerate of each other. Sometimes we don't talk about our political and progressive spiritual attitudes, policies, and so on. But a lot of times we do, and I look forward to that. I grew up in a family where that's what we talked about at the dinner table. We talked about politics. And when we had guests, that was what we talked about. We would have wonderful arguments. So I grew up with dialogue, and I love it. I that's for me is what recreation is. I prefer that to even going skiing today.
Nice. Well, what did your parents do? What was their work, or how did they?
Well, my father was a what they call a rate clerk for the Soo Line Radio, and then for the Wheat Company. And my mother was a stay-at-home mother.
Yeah, were they, you talked about politics, were they progressives? Were they Democrats? Were they Republicans? Were they liberals? How did they identify themselves back in your childhood?
My father told me just before he died, and he lived to be 96, he said, I never voted for a Democrat all my life.
Yeah.
And that was pretty difficult because he was a follower of Father Charles E. Coughlin. In the Depression days, who spoke on the radio about social justice. And Father Coughlin said in 1932, Roosevelt or Rune. And then in 1936, he backed Lemke, and he said Roosevelt and Rune.
Yeah.
So he changed, but not my father. He stuck with the Democrats and voted for Roosevelt.
Yeah. When you became a priest, how did the family respond to that? Did they think that was the path to be on?
Well, they told me that they would be honored if I became a priest, but not become a priest in order to please them. They said, if you're going to be a priest, be a good one.
Now, the Catholic Church tends to organize around areas. So if you live in a particular area and you're going to be Catholic, you're asked to go to the parish, to the church in your parish.
Yes.
Parish is a word for how you'd organize, like a district or something.
Yes.
Was the priest where you went to church, was he a progressive? Was he calling you to social action? Was he calling you to think about the other or in your faith, or was he?
Well, I don't remember him doing that, but the assistant did come over to the house and play cards with us.
Okay.
And we played hearts, and it was fun to try and give him the Queen of Spades, you know, which was a way to lose, try to make him lose.
Yeah.
And he was such a good sport that I appreciated that. So I had both Coughlin, who was on the international level, and then the parish priest, who was really human. Mm. And that was important to us kids.
I mean, it's an interesting thing, isn't it, the call, and you said it when we were off mic here, and we're going to talk about it again in the book and what's going on with what's happening at TwinCitiesNonviolent.org. it's really the call to being a human being that's going to be the salvation to us.
I believe that.
Yeah.
And when we say human being, we're talking about a mature human being.
Yeah.
I think the reason we have so many difficulties in the church, especially and with this whole pedophile thing, is a lot of priests never grew up.
Hmm. How hard is that, the pedophile scandal on you and other Catholic priests of your generation?
Well, it's really, really tragic, and I think of it as the church going through its crucifixion.
Hmm.
But I do believe in resurrection.
Yeah, it's really harming, isn't it? It's really damaging, and
yes.
there's so many parts when because there's two competing narratives in our world. There's a narrative that says people are the problem, and there's a narrative that says people are the solution. And I think it's both of those most of the time, and that's a real choice we have to make. And politics as well. And yeah, I appreciate your comments of saying that the people that you live with, the former priests that you live with, they are conservatives and progressives.
Yes.
And that seems to come from someplace different than just from your faith or how you were raised. People of every tradition, every religious tradition, people of every country can be progressive. They can be conservatives. They can be liberal. They can be regressive. All the forms. It's easy to think that if someone comes from a particular area, if they hold a certain set of religious beliefs, then by definition, they're going to be conservative or progressive.
Unfortunately.
And that's just not true, though, is it?
No.
I mean, people are, we're complicated for a whole lot of reasons. And
yes.
One of the things I've been saying to Democrats and to progressive politics, people in progressive politics is, boy, you're really better off if you can feel like you are engaging and winning the conversation and not just trying to win the vote. Like if you can engage with someone and have them say, I hear what you're saying and I might agree with you on this, and to make that a personal human connection and not just a power exchange. I'm all about using your vote as a tool of social
I understand.
Format. I mean, that's just how we decided to organize this country, that would give people that power. But fundamentally, you have to know a person and think about a person, and I would even dare say like the other person, like somebody and care for them who thinks about the world differently than you do.
I agree, and I don't think Jesus expected us to like everybody.
Yeah,
he wants us. He urged us to love everyone,
yeah.
Seek the good of the beloved, but some people you like more than others.
Sure,
and God doesn't. I mean, that's okay with God.
Yeah, I get you.
So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, and I do think there's really important work to be done. To you were telling the story about approaching young men in North Minneapolis, and saying to them, "Can you help to make these streets free of violence?" I don't know the men, but my guess is they would be happier with violent-free streets as well.
They sure would, yes. Yes, they would.
Like, it's easy to think that people who you don't know or understand or are causing pain in the world want it that way, but I've rarely met a person who doesn't want the same thing, that people want to live in goodness and in harmony with each other.
Yes, I've never met anyone who gets up in the morning with the idea that they want to go and do evil.
Yeah.
And so I don't believe there are any evil people in the world.
Yeah, I can hear some of our guests saying, or some of our listeners saying, well, there's the president of the United States right now. And so that's a little hitch in a lot of our brains, and it's something that we have to get after and to think about in some new and fresh ways, as much as, I mean, I'm personally opposed and want the president to be freed up to go and live out his God-intended abilities doing something other than what he's doing now, because he's totally not capable of doing that, and he should be freed from the burden. All right, so this is Father Harry Bury. We're going to come back and talk about his book, Maverick Priest, The Story of a Life on the Edge. It's going to be fascinating, so stick with us here. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. So far and confused.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM 950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM 950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
Find your place in a community you'll love on the Parade of Homes. Learn why new, energy-efficient homes can save thousands on the Green Path Energy Efficiency Tour, sponsored by Xcel Energy. Free guidebooks at holiday or plan your tour with our new tour planner at paradeofhomes.org. The Parade of Homes, sponsored by U.S. Bank.
Parade of Homes, where dream homes come true.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio. This Saturday, we'll be talking about Jamming for Justice on the Upper Harbor. There's an event on Saturday, September 22nd. The city of Minneapolis owns 48 acres of land on the north bank of the Mississippi. People in the North Minneapolis area have been disconnected from the river. How do we reconnect? How do we find the reconnection? Jamming for Justice, there's spoken word artists, hip-hop artists, and water protectors. Saturday, September 22nd, Jamming for Justice. We'll be talking about it this weekend on Food Freedom Radio.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hi, Sarah from Vinaigrette. Farmers markets are everywhere and summer's bounty is limitless. Try a rustic caprese salad using spring mix, fresh mozzarella, grape or cherry tomatoes, red onion, fresh basil, garlic olive oil, and our 18-year age balsamic. Or try grilled romaine brushed with Tunisian olive oil. Vinaigrette makes it easy to love your vegetables. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis, or 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hey, tune into the Norman Goldman Show, where justice is served live every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Today on the show, the holiday is behind us, and what is ahead of us? We got to talk about the Supreme Court, and of course, Russiagate. Senior legal analyst time is never far away. Do join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms, low around 53. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high near 56. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 64. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe. Committed to sustaining a healthy community, the Co-op Creamery Cafe is located at 2601 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Hey, welcome back, AM 950. It's a rainy afternoon here on a Thursday, but a great day for me because I get to talk to Harry Burry. He's a storied priest, and I mean storied in a couple of ways. You have an awful lot of stories of your life on the edge, and also the kind of stories that others like to brag about. And so I'm going to ask you to tell us some of the stories about what you've done with your life, because I think it's inspiring for people. And I'll give this caveat, as we were talking before we came on here, that I know you did all of the things that you did because you thought it was a contribution to the world, not because you saw yourself as the hero of the story. But to a lot of us, we're going to hear you talk about what you have been graced to be involved in your life. And they just seem... they seem unbelievable. They seem incredible in the kinds of activities that people use the word hero around. So thank you for being willing to share these stories. And do you want to say anything about that before I ask you about a couple
of
things?
I don't feel like a hero at all. Any of these things that happened, being arrested and so on, I acted by being invited. When I went to Vietnam to try and stop the war, it was the Vietnamese who invited me to come and do a demonstration against the war at the time that Tu was being elected. That was in 1971. The election day was October 3rd. So I agreed to come, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I was living it up to the Vietnamese. And when I got there, they asked if myself and three others would chain ourselves to the U.S. Embassy gate as a way of protesting the war. And so I did what they asked us to do. And then we were arrested and were freed by the good people at the embassy.
So you were arrested by the American government?
No, we were very careful. I'm sorry. I let you. We deliberately chained ourselves to the inside of the gate so the U.S. government would have to deal with us.
I see.
Because we didn't want to get into a tiger cage.
Yes.
But when they cut the chains and they ushered us outside, and then the Vietnamese police arrested us. Mm-hmm. And then some people came from the embassy and tried to intercede for us. And so the Vietnamese said, well, we'll let you go if you promise not to do any more protests.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the next day, Sunday after the voting, where practically nobody voted, we went to a church to say Mass, and when I asked the priest if I can concelebrate, and he said, okay. And I said, then can I give the homily? And he said, what are you going to talk about? And I said, peace. And he said, no, I changed my mind. So as we left the church, we were arrested again.
Yeah.
And this time we were held long after midnight, and then they said, you're out of here. And they made sure we got on the plane and left Vietnam.
It's quite a story for a priest from Minnesota to believe that you could have a contribution in bringing an end to the Vietnam War, this plague that had harmed so many people in Vietnam and killed so many in the United States. It can feel like such a small action, but it seems that those small actions are what you see as the important seeds of bringing about change in the world.
Yes, I look at it from a systemic point of view. And so I've never been a micromanager. And so as Nancy knows, I neglect many details.
Oh.
But seeing the whole picture, I can see that ours was one part.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many parts of people doing things to end the war.
Yeah.
John Kerry, take his example, of throwing his medals.
Yeah.
So there were all kinds of people doing wonderful things.
So not only were you in Vietnam and found yourself getting arrested, can you just say a word or two about why people, when they want to bring about social change, choose to get arrested? I've done that. I do that in my life, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Because a lot of people don't understand why, if someone wants to change the law or change the function or change the system, why do they go about breaking the law in order to change it? Can you say a bit about that?
It's a very good question, Doug. We, for a number of years, we tried everything that we could think of that was according to the law. We wrote letters, we tried to talk to our politicians. We did everything we could possibly do, and we weren't getting anywhere. And even marching, which was within the Constitution, we get to march. But that wasn't making a difference. And so we saw that, and I believe that the law that we were following, the law of invading Vietnam, was an unjust law, an illegal law. And so in order to protest an evil law, we get arrested. Mm. That's what happens, I'm afraid. Mm.
Deputy Harry's telephone.
He's just got a song in his pocket.
He's my personal absent-minded professor.
So some people get unnerved when someone's phone rings in the wrong moment. I just think it's a soundtrack to whatever it is that they're doing at the time. So it doesn't bother me at all.
It's one of the details.
Years later, the people in Ho Chi Minh City offered you the keys to the city. So you went there as a protester. You went there as an advocate. You went there on the side of the victims of war, to try to bring about a cessation of killing.
Yes.
And it's been the I was arrested in Washington D.C. for opposing the death penalty. The Supreme Court steps, and one of the I had to make a statement before the judge before we were sentenced, and I said I come from the Christian tradition, and Christians have been opposed to execution since A.D. 33. That's my line, right, with Jesus. That that there's been a long history of trying to save the oppressed and trying to save those who are being harmed and being killed. Yes. So you went compelled by your humanity and fueled by your faith and fueled by your commitment to this country, I'm assuming, to try to bring an end to that war, got arrested, then were sent out, and I'm sure we're not received well back home by everyone?
Not very well, yes. In fact, my relatives really came down hard on my parents and said things like, I thought your son was a priest. How come he's going to jail?
Yeah. Then years later, the people in Ho Chi Minh City wanted to honor you for the work that you had done there. Talk about that story. How did that come about over all those years?
Well, I got a message from Saigon, and they said, would you come over? We would like to honor you for the work you did during the war. This was like 2013, just a few years ago, and we want to honor you. And when I agreed to come, because I was teaching in Thailand anyway, so it was easy for me to go there. And they gave me the keys to the city, which is old Saigon, is now Ho Chi Minh City.
Yeah, what was that feeling like from 1971 to 2013 to have there be some recognition that what you did and what others were doing and that you were a part of was bringing about some good in the world?
Well, I was grateful that the government there appreciated what we did, but like most governments, they too have not been altogether satisfactory.
Yeah.
When we were at the peace talks, I said very strongly that if they should win, how would they treat the people in the South? And they said that they would treat them well. But they didn't do that. It was, they seemed to know how to win the war, but they didn't know how to manage peace.
Mm-hmm. Well, that seems to be a problem for a lot of countries that want to win wars, isn't it? Maintaining peace.
Yes.
And have peace be something other than just the lack of hostility.
And I think really it's the reason is that we have bought into punishment as a way to prevent violence.
Yeah.
And you see it on our television all the time in our movies. You know, they separate the good guys from the bad guys. And they just believe that people are evil. Yes. And no parent does that. You have children, huh?
I do, yes.
And your children, they do things you don't like sometimes, I imagine.
Yes.
But while you might be upset with their behavior, you never cease to love them.
Yeah.
And that's the key. We need to realize that, yes, people do evil things, but it's because they don't know any better.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus said. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So if we think they don't know any better, then the response is not to punish, but to educate.
Yeah, yeah. And to nurture key. And to bring along.
Yes, yes, like you do with your children.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the commitment to violence and the work that you're doing with this 10 days of work that people can find at TwinCitiesNonviolent.org. You are trying to introduce a new human ethic to one another, that a commitment to nonviolence would be total and complete. Because there's a lot of people, and I appreciate all the conversations I'm in with others, who they feel like, well, nonviolence is a fine way to go when you can, but ultimately you're going to have to turn to the stick or the sword or the gun or the cell or the mean word or the violent activity. And we tell ourselves in our society that we're actually protected by all the violence that's around us. And it's a real myth that you can violence your way out of violence. There's, and I think our political system doesn't understand this very well either. It keeps us afraid of one another, and it keeps blaming others for our circumstance and promises that there'll be some kind of punishment someday. And well, you say more about that.
Well, I agree, what is lacking is a vision.
Yeah,
you know, the vision that our blessed Lord gave us. You know, he said, love your enemies. And when Peter said, Jesus said, forgive them. And Peter said, well, should we forgive them seven times? And Peter thought he was going overboard. And Jesus said, 70 times seven. Now, the real key question is, how do you forgive people over and over again when they keep on doing it?
Yeah.
And so that's the struggle that you're presenting. And we don't know the answers. So we work at it, and we obviously, if you have somebody that's going around raping people, you can't let them go around raping. So you need to incarcerate them
to
protect people so they don't get raped. But in incarcerating them, you don't treat them badly, which is punishment, but you treat them well so that they can learn to live better, to live differently, and see that it's really in their long-term self-interest to change their behavior.
Well, that's Father Harry Bury. He's going to be with us here for our final segment, so thanks. This is AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
I could see the town where I was born.
As we head into fall, get your vehicle service done at Rudy Luther Toyota. Regardless of where you've purchased your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is your number one destination for auto service and repair. Routine maintenance or a larger repair, easily schedule your appointment on their website, RudyLutherToyota.com. That's RudyLutherToyota.com. They're fast, courteous, and they get the job done right. And considering my schedule, I trust them. Get your vehicle ready for the cooler weather with a trip to Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off the menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
Hello, humans. It's Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many know that I have a diversity inclusion company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I want to share about a speaking event I'll be hosting on Monday, November 5th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Loft Literary Center in Minneapolis. I'll be giving my gray area thinking talk on how to be welcoming to others. I'd love for you to join me. Go to elliekrug.com and look at the Human is Human public events page for more. Please come and please tell others. See you then.
Lots of good things come in threes, like three-pointers, a triple scoop ice cream cone, and Standard Heating and Air Conditioning's triple savings sale. Just install a new furnace and AC this September and you'll triple your savings to the tune of $2,700. That's right. Get rebates and other discounts for a total of $2,700 in savings. Learn more about Standard's triple savings sale at standardheatingdeals.com. That's standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style right here on AM 950. Hey, I've only got a few seconds, so here's the deal. Habitation is the coolest furniture store in town. Not only have we got some of the most exceptional furniture in the cities, but in many cases, Habitation can offer you store credit on your existing furniture. Stop in, talk to one of our designers, and let us help you make your home exceptional. Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
Welcome back to AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett in, talking with Father Harry Bury, and he is has a very full life in a book that's coming out next week called Maverick Priest, A Story of Life on the Edge, a memoir of sorts. And yes, it's really fascinating. So it's available on Amazon right now for pre-order. And if you want it to be delivered to your house next week, pick it up. But I'll tell you, this Saturday, you are helping to organize the Gathering of Nations for Peace and Unity Circle dedication at Bademakaska, which is the lake that was formerly called Lake Calhoun. And so on Saturday, this coming Saturday at 9 a.m., over at Thomas Beach, so people who know their way around the lake can find this, but if they don't, they will see it's one of the three beaches there at Bademakaska. There's going to be an activity, and the activity is not Catholic. It's not just Christian. It's people from a variety of faiths. It's going to include people from indigenous groups, Buddhists,
Hindu, a rabbi, and a Buddhist.
So it's and one of the things we were talking off air that you and I come from the Christian religious tradition that says that our faith ought to open us to others and to the way that humanity can grow. And I think that Christianity is in a place in the United States where it really has to lose its privilege and stop acting like it's the host, and to recognize that it's a part of the community with all the other peoples, those who believe in religious traditions and those who don't, that the atheists and the humanists and the Buddhists and the people that are just like, I don't even like the labels, the non-labelists, which
is most
people I know, and I find myself in that same category, that they can all get together. So this activities that you're putting together from TwinCitiesNonviolent.org, it is not particularly a Christian tradition. It is your Christian tradition that has led you into this.
That's right, and it's really ecumenical.
Yeah,
and it includes people that have no religion whatsoever.
Yeah,
but they're humanists, and they realize that if we continue in this violent way, we're just gonna kill us all.
You've been thinking about this a lot, what it means for us to be a nonviolent people, and you've been advocating for that from, as we talked about earlier, from Vietnam, and you were in Cambodia, and you were able to use your priestly functions with the Pope in the beatification of Mother Teresa. And you've had a very rich and full life, and yet this Saturday on the 22nd, or the 27th, at the 22nd, at 9 a.m., you're going to get together over at Bademakaska, over at Thomas Beach, for people to hold hands with one another.
Yes.
It can seem like such a small thing compared to what your book, Maverick Priest, tells this very full story of your nearly 90 years. But I can see it in your eyes that you think that what's going to happen on Saturday at 9 a.m. over at the lake is just as important as all these other things.
And it's the commencement. Well, and these 10 days of all these activities that are demonstrating freedom from violence is just the beginning. And we're going to be working at it all year long. So this is going to make it.
Yeah.
I have a vision. Yeah. And we have a vision. And it's everybody working together. We're doing it together.
Yeah. And it takes all of us. And
And we're doing it for the children.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you mean for the children? Say more about that.
Well, they're our future. They're our future. And
Michael Jackson.
And when I see what's happening and what I've seen all over the world, the what happens to families from the war, the kids are the ones that suffer the most.
Yeah. I think about, and I've been saying this a lot because I'm going to be traveling the country to try to bring an end and to restrain the Trump presidency. The idea that our government in this country has put kids in cages, 13,000 of them.
Yes.
And for you, that's why I was so tapping into that phrase that you said, that we think about these children. There are many kinds of cages that children can be in. And to use your phrase, freedom from violence, the cage of violence is a very devastating and very powerful cage. And to think about children and all of our society being freed from that rather than seeing it as our security. I just came in the airport today, and I was at the standing waiting for my friend John Bradley to pick me up. He always wants credit when he picks me up at the airport, so this is a good chance to throw him a bone. I was coming to pick me up. There was a security officer walking in front of me with you know, an AR-15 rifle strapped across his chest. And I just thought, I don't know everything that goes into why he's standing there, but the belief that somehow that's keeping us safe just seems like such a myth. And it seems to me that what's going to happen on September 22nd at 9 a.m. has much greater chance of people holding hands in a circle of unity to keep us safe than trying to put a killing machine in the hand of the right person instead of the wrong person. That just feels like madness to me. And it feels like we're trapped in a cycle of violence. So we have 2 minutes left, and I've talked too much with you here in my presence. So tell us what else we need to know about what you're doing on Saturday or the book or any of the good words you have for
well,
us.
Well, not only Saturday, but all for the next 10 days, there'll be 4 or 5 activities all over the Twin Cities that people can participate in so that people can learn what a really good place it is to be in the Twin Cities. And we're hoping that the religious leaders and the civic leaders will hold a press conference and led by Reverend Curtis DeYoung, who is the executive director of the Minnesota Council of Churches, and hoping he'll be able to call them together. And the mayors of both Twin Cities.
Is he doing that already? Is Curtis on that? Is he going to have a press conference, or are we encouraging here to have a press conference?
Both.
All right.
He's committed to do it.
Great.
And I'm hoping that he can make the calls to the mayors and the city councils and so on, so that not only the religious community but also the civic community come together to work together for the safety of the Twin Cityans.
Well, that's Father Harry Burry. Again, I've mentioned it a few times. His book that comes out next week is called Maverick Priest, The Story of a Life on the Edge, a Minnesota priest that has been serving people here and around the world for issues of nonviolence and for peace. And so thank you for all the work that you've done and for offering this up again over at TwinCitiesNonviolent.org. It's a place you should go, and I'm going to be there Saturday morning.
I hope you'll hold hands with me.
At 9 a.m.? Oh, are you kidding me? That'd be an honor. I would love to do that. So if you're someone who feels like this is right up your alley, be sure to rearrange your schedule if you need to be there. And if this is something you've been listening to us and you just think, I don't get that at all. I don't know what these guys are talking about. It's not really my thing. If you have it in you to step across that line with a bit of courage to join in with some other people, it's those small acts of bravery where people will cross a line, whether that's an ocean or...
As Jesus said, come and see.
Yeah.
Come and see.
Well, thank you, Father. It was really a pleasure being with you.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Doug, so much for having me. Thanks for this opportunity.
Hey, AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Some of us will see you over at Padema Kaska on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. over in Thomas Beach. See you there.
Thank you. Well done. Bouncing off a saddle.